The Disney Brit podcast is sponsored by Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. At Attraction Tickets Direct, they recognise that people nowadays want to be free from package holiday restrictions and to avoid paying prices inflated by travel agent commission. Because they don't sell through travel agents, they are able to offer attraction tickets at unbeatable prices and offer expert advice. Furthermore, the service they provide is second to none since their lines are open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Customers receive their tickets within 7 days and there are no hidden extras such as credit card fees or postage surcharges. You can call them on 0800 975 0002 or visit www.attraction-tickets-direct.co.uk. Complete Orlando are here to help simplify your Orlando holiday. They specialise solely in arranging holidays to Orlando and can therefore provide you with an expert advice and knowledge on this magical destination. They have expert staff available 7 days a week and can personalise your whole itinerary using their range of hotels, private villas and apartments to suit all budgets, as well as car rental, scheduled flights, theme park tickets and travel insurance. Their whole range can be totally tailor-made to offer complete flexibility and fit your individual requirements. Call them on 0800 294 8844 or visit www.completeorlando.co.uk.
Ah, salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Hello and welcome to episode 28 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday, the 11th of November, 2009. Well, as always, we're going to start off this show with our news and rumours as Joz and Craig join me as we look at all the stuff that's been going on in Walt Disney World and Disneyland Paris over the past couple of weeks. We're then going to phone into Craig, who we rang while he was over at Epcot at the Food and Wine Festival. We're going to get one of his reviews with regards to that. I also headed over to Theobald's Park in Hertfordshire, where I attended a pin trading event over there, where we had loads of UK pin trading fans, and we had a fantastic time. You'll be able to hear a little bit more about what pin trading in the UK is all about, find out a little bit more about what the etiquette of pin trading is, and just why people do it. I must admit, I was sceptical to begin with, but I tell you what, I've since been and bought myself some pins. We're then going to bring you my Disney Daily Diary for day 9 and 10 of my vacation. And we're going to head back over to Craig as we ring him again for his second food and wine review. We're going to bring you a Mouse Meats update because we've got some stuff we want to tell you about. Very exciting with regards to Mouse Meats is happening in a few weeks' time. And then we're going to end the show, just for a change, with the trivia quiz, with number 17 of our Disney Brit trivia quiz. So, without any further ado, let's get on with this edition of the Disney Brit Podcast.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
It is that time of the show again where we're going to ring another pod person. So I've got their number here, so I'm going to give them a ring now and hopefully they'll pick up. So let's see what happens. Okay, so we're ringing them now.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
Yes.
Hello, it's Adam from the Disney Brit Podcast. You are our pod person for this episode.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm not too bad. We thought we'd give you a very quick ring because we have our pod person for each episode, and I thought, you know, Mike is just our guy. So, Mike, I wanted to ask you a few questions, if that's okay.
Sure, go ahead.
Right, first off, tell us, where are you? Where's your location at this moment in time?
Right now, I'm in my house, which is in Kissimmee, Florida.
Okay.
And, yeah, so that's where I'm at this moment, and it's me and my wife. We're just sitting down, getting ready to have a little bit of something to eat with her.
And when was your last trip to Walt Disney World? I'm probably guessing that long ago.
Two days ago, I went into, that was Saturday night, we went into the Food Wine Festival to see the concert, which was Los Lobos.
Oh, wow, excellent. Were they good?
Yeah, very, very good. Very good. I enjoyed that. I've been doing vlogs on most of the concerts. I've been into quite a few of them. I've missed a couple, but most of all, I've been going in whenever a new band performer has been performing.
And when is your next trip planned?
My next trip will probably be the end of this week. The weather's going to be bad here a little bit. There's potential remnants of a hurricane. It's going to be a bit rainy here for the next few days. Probably the end of the week. And I think we're going to go into Hollywood Studios.
Oh, excellent. Good stuff. And what's your favorite ride at the moment? Your favorite ride to go on when you go to the parks?
My favorite ride right at the moment is Toy Story Mania.
Oh, brilliant. It's a fantastic ride. And obviously, you live so close, you probably not stayed in a hotel for very long. But what is your favorite resort?
My favorite one is Boardwalk.
Boardwalk?
I absolutely love Boardwalk. Love being that close to Broadway and to Hollywood Studios. It's just a fabulous place, and there's so much to do there at night as well.
Excellent.
Without going into the park, so that's
great. It definitely is a great place to go at night. Okay, your favourite food at Walt Disney World? If there was, you go to one place for one meal, where would it be?
Favourite food? Well, I absolutely love eating at the California Grill.
Oh, yeah.
Contemporary. And they have just so many wonderful meals there. But typically, I love their steak. And that's typically usually what I get up there, like the California Grill.
What would be, if you were to give one top tip for a trip to Walt Disney World, what would your top tip be?
My top tip, obviously, is when you go, have a plan, number one. And number two, that plan should include getting a fast pass for your favorite ride. As soon as you get into the park.
Good idea.
And go early. I would go early. Don't till early in the morning and show up at the park at 11 o'clock early. And the first trip is have a plan. Know what you're planning on doing.
That sounds like a great idea. And, of course, you are involved with allis.net. Do you want just a quick plug for allis.net and about your walking tour of Epcot you've got going at the moment? What's that all about?
Yes, presently what I'm doing is walking tours in all the countries in Epcot. And one of the things that I feel very strongly about is that these countries have just so much to offer. And for the most part, I overlook people walk by them and they may be hustling and going to maybe a favorite restaurant. They may be going to see some entertainment, like the British Invasion in the United Kingdom, but they miss so much of each of these countries and what they have to offer. So what I'm doing with these walking tours is really putting out in a pictorial way, as well as with obviously some of the words I'm writing, but a little bit about what these countries are, and hopefully people will appreciate them a little bit more.
That sounds great. Sounds a brilliant idea. Yeah. Well, thank you for your time, Mike. I shall leave you to get back to your dinner, and we're going to do our news and rumors now.
No, that's quite all. I'm glad to talk to you, and thanks for giving me a buzz.
Not a problem. Thanks, Mike. Bye.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye now.
Right, so let's get on with some news then. And of course, as always, joining me is the two wonderful people that they are. Firstly, Mr. Juz Griffiths. Hello, Juz.
Hi, Adam. Hi, Disney Pod people.
And also, Mr. Orlando, Mr. Craig Duncan. How are you, Craig?
I'm fine, thank you. And I was created by J.M. Barrie in 1984.
Peter Pan.
My first Disney film...
Wendy.
...was in 1953. Jazz.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I think we're just going to go through the cast then, weren't we?
I was literally just going to keep going through until I got it. Oh, I hate
generally
that game.
Known as the symbol of magic of Disney.
Right, we're getting rid of that game. I don't like it anymore.
And because you're losing 2-1.
Yeah,
two,
Craig.
One,
Craig. Craig, go back to Orlando. How was Orlando, by the way?
Orlando was fantastic, thank you. It was very hot. It was lovely. Weather was nice. Had a great time.
And you're back, and we're all here in... cold, wet, foggy Britain, which is not good. I went to the pin meet over the weekend, though. That was really good going.
And did you get a hat with pins on or a vest?
No, but I did go. And you know how I said, I've always said I've never really understood pin trading and all that sort of stuff. And I sort of do understand it a little bit. And actually, because of going to the meet, I've bought a couple of pins on eBay.
Ooh,
Haunted Mansion. Haunted Mansion pins. That's what I'm going for, Haunted Mansion.
No, but it starts that way.
One thing we did say is that it was the first ever UK Disney pin trading event. Apparently it's not. There's been some in Scotland. There's been one in Bradford as well. So I need to say thank you to Yvonne Douglas for putting me right on that. But you'll hear that a little bit later on in the show. Anyway, let's do some news, because that's what we're here to do now. So we're going to start off with some Disney news in general. First off is that Disney have announced that next year there will indeed be a D23 Expo. The Expo is once again going to be in California. There is not yet a date or ticket prices or anything like that at all, but there's definitely going to be an Expo. Craig, is it something you're thinking about doing next year?
Yeah, I'm going to go in Lou's laptop.
In Lou's laptop bag? Quite in the box?
Exactly, yeah. No, I'd quite like to go. I mean, it's just so expensive to go. There's no way that I am going to go, but I would love to go.
What about you?
I really would love to go.
Sorry, I thought you'd finished. What about you, Juz?
Can I just point out in take one, I said in Lou's laptop.
What do you mean, take one? Bopped. Excuse me, this is seamless. We never make any mistakes, and this is the perfect first take. How are you on about?
I'm not playing anymore.
Yeah, Craig, go and stand in the corner and think about what you've just done.
I'm sorry. I apologise, Joe, but it was funny. So I have to take it.
It is pleasing to see that it's back, though, and obviously it was a big enough success last year. My only concern is, are they going to begin to leave all the big pieces of news until the Expo? And if they don't leave all big pieces of news to the Expo, and people go to the Expo expecting it, it doesn't happen, and people are going to be disappointed and think it's a letdown.
I think the problem is the first one was so amazing, isn't it? So
yeah.
I'm sure Disney will do it well and do it justice.
I'm sure they will. I'm sure there'll be no problems with that at all. Okay, let's head into the parks then. Let's do some news from around Walt Disney World. And we're going to head to the Magic Kingdom to start off with, where we have a few bits and pieces. Firstly, we reported that Tiana's Showboat Jubilee was beginning over in Liberty Square. And that has, in fact, begun. There's some videos now online about the actual show. I've watched it. And actually, it looks pretty good. I'm quite impressed with some of the stuff that's come out recently, with Stitch's Supersonic Celebration not being such a big hit. This looks really, really good. One of the things we were talking about and we had concerns about is that if this Jubilee show's going on, they're going to stop using the riverboat for just general everyday guests in between. Well, it turns out that although you get, I think it's either 3 or 4 different showings of Tiana's Showboat Jubilee that are only allowing out several guests on at a time, they are going to be opening the attraction up in between for people to go on the riverboat as usual. So has anybody else seen the show?
I haven't, no, not yet.
Craig?
Don't me neither. No, I haven't seen it.
And you'll have just missed it, won't you? It'd probably been on a couple of days after you came home.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't see anything for it. I did see something advertised for it. Mickey's Not So Scary, they had something up, because Alex pointed it out. I didn't go on. It wasn't kind of ready to go.
Okay. Well, another one that wasn't quite ready to go while you were out there was that of Space Mountain over in Tomorrowland. It seems that it is now nearly ready. The walls around Space Mountain are now down. All of the main lights apparently have been switched off. Vehicles have been seen going round at the track. It seems that cast member previews are likely to start sometime over the next week, and soft openings could be expected to begin just after that. Official reopening is still expected to be the 21st of November. Still no reports on what the difference inside is, but Space Mountain is back on track and will be opening very, very soon.
I'm just looking forward to see what they've actually done to it. Looking forward to the videos coming on YouTube.
Yeah, definitely, although they'll be a bit dark, I would guess.
That's one of the things. I mean, we were the... on Mickey's Not So Scary, we went on the People Mover, and obviously it took you all the way through there, and there were bits of it where the lights were on and you could see above your head up kind of into it. I mean, I didn't really see any difference at all, but not that I can remember what it looked like when I looked up before I was on there. But it just seemed to, you spend an awful long time going through Space Mountain. I don't remember it being that long.
Yeah, yeah. It seems that from looking at the videos with the lights on, there's an awful lot. I'd say I vaguely remember seeing a lot of it, but there's a point where you see those glass panels and you go around, and I sort of you forget that there's actually that much of Space Mountain you can see into. So it'll be interesting to see now it's going to be a lot darker, whether they have done anything with it or whether it's just going to be the same as it has always. Okay, staying in Tomorrowland then. We announced that the Totally Tomorrowland Christmas was coming and that it was going to be coming ready for the first Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. That is indeed true. Got some information about it. A press release from Disney that states the following. The story is Buzz Lightyear and Mike Wazowski helped stitch together, get it, an awesome new Magic Kingdom show. The unearthly new show adds up somehow as 50% live radio Disney rock concert, 50% Disney Channel comedy, and 50% Disney Pixar celebration. Among the chart-topping holiday hits is a sizzling, explosively choreographed staging of Rock Around the Christmas Tree, recreating the hit version heard on Radio Disney. Our host is interplanetary pop star Hayley Comet. Get it? Best known to TV fans on the Red Planet as the rocking star of the Martian Channel original series, Mona Plutonia. It is her pleasure and privilege to bring to her Tomorrowland fans and the one and only Buzz Lightyear. Now, it's supposed to be set inside the space actor's capsule, which is Buzz, as he recounts the intense, gripping adventure that is, of course, Jingle Bells. Our favourite space ranger brings to this piece a level of gravitas only a starship captain can. Buzz emotes it to the hilt, once again making the holiday safe from evil, but not necessarily from scenery chewing. And it goes on, they talk about the bits that's going to happen. Mike Wazowski takes the stage and creates some material that he used at the mountain resorts of Monstropolis. Stitch, of course, comes in as well. He's apparently been off exploring the cosmos to keep track of Santa's journey. And it all comes together with him understanding about Happy Holidays in Ohana. Apparently, it's his starting on the 10th of November, which is the first night of the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, and it's going to be happening throughout those, and what it seems could also be happening as part of the daily entertainment over at Magic Kingdom as well. What do you think?
It sounds like it's going to be a good laugh, doesn't it? It sounds very well done. There's all the characters and interact. I think it's a great idea. Fantastic.
Craig?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, all for that. It'd be nice to have something kind of extra special for the Christmas party, because I think it's a poor second to the Halloween party.
I quite like this idea of Stitch following Santa Claus on a sleigh and just causing absolute havoc in the air. I don't know what he's going to do. I just quite like, just got this image in my head of that, which should be pretty good. Right, let's head over then, jump on the monorail and head over to Epcot, where we have got some Epcot news for you. The Lights of Winter don't seem to be coming to Epcot this year, as they have done usually. It seems that this usual addition to the holiday season has gone. Usually the archways have been seen on property. They're usually stored within the car park of Epcot before they're moved out, ready for the installation, but nobody's seen them. The event has not appeared in any of the holiday material released by Disney, but the Lights of Winter basically are a canopy archway, about 30,000 lights. They run along the walkway from Future World to World Showcase Plaza. Now, each night, during Epcot's Holiday Around the World season, the archway creates this spectacle of synchronized dancing lights, basically, and combined with the Fountain of Nations, it's all orchestrated to holiday music. But it seems that this is missing. Do you think this is going to make a huge difference? You know, I don't think this sort of thing is going to stop people from going to Epcot for the holiday season, are they?
It doesn't stop them, but it's just taking a piece away that it's nice, it's there, and sort of give you that spirit. You know, I hope they do appear. I hope it's just a gloss over, a small mistake, and things will pop up anyway. But I think it just makes that area, especially with the tie-in with the music, a bit like Fountain does anyway.
Yeah, definitely. It seems that, you know, maybe they're putting some money elsewhere, what with the new show for Tomorrowland and that sort of stuff. But it does sound like it's something that adds another element to the holiday season at Epcot. Okay, Epcot's Flower and Garden Festival have announced their dates for next year. Just a quick one. The event is going to be starting on the 3rd of March and goes to the 70 for 75 days until the 16th of May. Craig, you'll be out there between this time. Is it something you often go to?
No, it isn't actually. I've been not noticed here, which I don't notice. Or something that I've been to. I mean, the 3rd of May, I can totally see the point of, because there's a benefit to me in getting 3rd of May. what, you know, I used to enjoy those gardens in another place, which I'm not going to mention.
Oh, dear, here we go again. It's back.
I will be there over that time. I mean, if I go to Epcot, then I'll take those. But it's not something that specifically jumps to mind as a reason to go. The food and wine to me is an absolute draw. But people love the fair and garden. It's very popular, so it's not really my cup of tea.
Okay, let's move on then to another bit of Epcot news. Thanks to Craig for picking this one up. I hadn't found this one. It seems that the Epcot Illuminations will be moving to 9:30, and will be including the usual holiday tag, starting after Thanksgiving. So if you are going down to Epcot, you're expected to go and see a 9 o'clock show. Maybe you've booked an early reservation dinner at somewhere like Rose and Crown or something like that because you want to be able to see the fireworks while having dinner. They've now moved it back half an hour, so do make sure you look at that. Okay, let's go over to Disney Hollywood Studios then. Well, just one very quick piece of news. The Christmas Carol photo op has appeared, linked to the new movie opened on the 6th of November. This new op is basically a big board which has Scrooge holding a candle. The flame for the candle isn't actually there. It's a hole where you can put your head in and become the flame of one of the candles. I think somewhere in the film something happens where a face appears in the flame of the candle. So they've it's quite a simple thing, but it's an addition nonetheless to Disney Hollywood Studios. Okay, nothing for Animal Kingdom. Worldwide of Sports. This is an interesting one. And I don't know about you guys, but this is something I heard about. It doesn't particularly interest me a huge amount. And that is the new ESPN Innovations Lab that has opened. Now, this lab is now open to guests to go inside and see. They are already creating new technology for live sport in for the ESPN channel. Basically, it's sort of a place where scientists of sport, I suppose, are creating new technologies for all sports where you can follow the ball in real time and they talk about speed and that sort of stuff, or they're able to show slow motion or different camera angles, rotate, all that sort of stuff. Like you get over here with the Premier League and they do all sorts of stuff like that. They're getting that especially for stuff that's going on for ESPN. Is it something that, you know, I personally, I'm not going to be rushing to Worldwide of Sports to look at this. What about you?
I'm just curious, what do you call it? A nectology?
It's new nectology. Yeah, I got that wrong. Shut it.
I think, you know, they're putting a lot of money out there. Things are picking up. I think it's a great thing. And certainly if I was out there, I'd buzz along and have a look at it. I think the kids sort of getting a bit old would love that kind of thing. But yeah, Tefa, count me in. I think it's great.
Craig?
Yeah, no, I can't see why not to go and see it. It gives you a reason to go to Worldwide of Sports. Be interesting to see what they do in there. Quite, yeah, maybe you feel like you're a TV studio. I don't know. Be good.
Okay, cool. Right, one more piece of news for Walt Disney World. We're heading over to Downtown Disney. It seems that we've covered pretty much everything this time, except for Animal Kingdom, and that the old Starabilia shop, which I think we all have a bit of a soft touch for, closed down this year, and the Little Mismatched shop will be opening, or has opened now. Basically, it's a store that's for kids' clothing, toys, books, games, etc. It's not Disney-owned. Apparently, they originally started selling these socks, some sort of stylish socks for kids, and they've since branched out to all these other clothing areas and all that sort of stuff as well. I've never heard of this company before. Anybody else?
No, Craig?
No, I haven't. No. How can a company start by socks? Anyway, I have boycotts in the West Side until Diana goes. I'm not going anywhere near it, so...
Right, is Diana going? Who's Diana? Is she going to see it? I don't know.
So you complain about a shop that started by selling socks, yet we have Tyrak.
Yeah, that's very true. That's a really good... Wasn't there a sock shop at one point?
I think there was.
There probably was, actually, yeah.
Right, so okay. There you go. Store, start by shop. So that's all of our Walt Disney World news. And before we head over to Disneyland Resort Paris, I think Craig has got something he wants to say, or somebody wants to wish somebody well.
I do, yeah. I wanted to wish, because I know that she listens to this. So my neighbour in America, Cheryl and Jeff Gearman, they live next door to me. Cheryl is this year very happy that she's been picked to be one of the cast members in the Candlelight Procession at Epcot. So Cheryl, all the very best of luck from all of us over here. I know you'll do great, and I'm sure everyone will take some video to show me. So very good luck for the Candlelight Procession.
Yeah, it really is. I bought the CD while I was out there because I've got it for this Christmas, and I've desperately wanted to play it, but, you know, it's not quite Christmas yet, but I'm nearly there, so I'm going to have that on this Christmas, definitely. So good luck, Cheryl. Yeah, I wish I was part of the Candlelight Procession. That'd be amazing. Right, jumping on a plane. We are coming over to Disneyland Resort Paris, where it is so cold, it's untrue, but there you go. But we have some great news to start off with, and that is Extra Magic Hours are confirmed for both Walt Disney Studios and Disneyland Park. It's unprecedented. It's never happened before where we've had Extra Magic Hours for both parks. Now, before you get excited, it's not a permanent thing as of yet. It will be from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. the Extra Magic Hours are going to be happening at both Disneyland Park and Walt Disney Studios. They're going to be happening on the following dates: November the 28th and 29th, and December the 5th, 6th, 12th, and 13th. How lucky that they're going to be open when we're there for Mousemeat, which is good. So 8 a.m. till 9 a.m. Obviously, some of the attractions are going to be open, but it's just a great opportunity to get over to Walt Disney Studios early. And let's say, you know, get on Crush's Coaster before the queues really build up. The same for something like Twilight Zone as well. It's just a great new idea. Now, it's believed that this is a trial. This is not a permanent thing as of yet. But if it goes well, then it could reappear for selected dates throughout 2010. It's about time they did this, do you not think? Especially what with the coming of Toy Story Playland, you know, that maybe Walt Disney Studios deserves to have those Extra Magic Hours.
Definitely, about time to, and very well received. Good on them.
But I've only got a slight worry about this, and I don't know because I've been there for a while, but I would have thought the majority of people going to the park are based in hotels anyway, aren't they? And like in Walt Disney World. So
well,
is this not just going to make it...
No, necessarily. Because there
are... I would have thought about 80% of them.
Well, yeah, but there are also a number of on-site hotels that aren't Disney-owned. And because of that, a lot of people stay in those as well, and you find that a lot of people stay off property due to the expense of the hotels, and there's plenty of hotels around the sort of outskirts of the Disney property. I can think of sort of 5 or 6 different hotels that are within 10-15 minutes drive of Disneyland Paris that I've stayed in that aren't particularly difficult to get to the parks from. So not so much, no. But the good thing about this is at least there's now 2 parks for people to choose from, of which they're going to go to do their Extra Magic Hours, which means everyone's not going to pile into Disneyland Park anymore, and might go over to Walt Disney Studios first. Okay.
Yeah. The great thing about Paris is the fact that, unlike the other Disney parks, is the fact that if you're a pass holder, you can also get into the Magic Hours even if you're not staying on site.
Yeah, that's very true, yeah. Yeah, but positive move. Obviously, they believe that there's enough people going, that they believe that the attendance is on the up, that they're going to need to do this, which is great. Right, some small rehabs that have been going on in Disneyland Paris. You know, a lot of these sort of go unannounced because, you know, we've got no announced big projects as yet. Don't get me started on Toy Story Playland. But Disneyland Paris is still adding all these small touches. And one that's happening at the moment is an overhaul of the timing and fast pass system at most of the attractions. It used to be that you would have these sort of flipping card systems where they would just flip round depending on what the time was. And they were prone to break down. And also, the biggest problem is that at this time of year, when it got dark extremely early and people were trying to look at either wait times or fast pass times, you just couldn't see it because they didn't light up. Well, Disney are taking out the old and bringing in the new as they bring in a new electronic system. This is less likely to fail and easier to fix if it does. And basically, it lights up with this electronic panel to show you A, the wait time for an attraction, and B, what the Fastpass return time is, and also what time are available for Fastpass. So, on the downside, I suppose, it does take away the sort of theming element, but also it adds a more reliable, easier to use element. Do you not think?
I think there's no downside to this. I think you're actually called a flipping system. Just stand in front of Big Thunder Mountain and watch the time go round and round and round. Never know how long it's going to take.
That's true.
And then suddenly it'll stop. You know, your fast pass is ready at midnight. It's just a mess. It's tremendous. I don't understand why they never got working past the weather. Big Thunder Mountain, the one I'm sure it takes in my mind. I can't remember the last time it ever worked.
Well, yeah, it seems to be working now. They've changed it. I know Big Thunder Mountain is certainly one of them that they have indeed changed. So that's good to see. Okay, one last bit of sort of general Disneyland Paris news before we head over into the parks for just some very, very quick news. Firstly, Disneyland Paris seems to be up for some major changes. Now, the recent breaking news of Shanghai seems to have have sort of covered up this little nugget that the Parisian newspaper La Parisienne has unfolded. Now, they have recently been talking to François Borasi, I think is his name. You know, I didn't butcher that too badly, who is the vice president of resorts and real estate development. You're laughing now, aren't you? Because I'm trying my French. You've been a little kid in the background. Now, some of this information, of course, is still rumour. It's not officially confirmed by Disney, although this this vice president has been in discussion with the paper. He discussed the fact that the expansion of Phase 3 is close to completion and Phase 4 is likely to be announced sometime very soon. Now, having waited 10 years... Well, because it really has been on the planning board for 10 years. It seems the new convention centre will have its first phase built between now and 2015. Now, this convention centre is expected to be expanded afterwards, but it's going to be a 20,000 hectare of floor space, basically, and it's going to be expected to be built somewhere between the Disney Village car park and the Newport Bay Club. There is also expected to be a new 750-room hotel on site. No news as if this is going to be a Disney-owned one or not. There's going to be a new TGV train station entrance and exit, and this will be an addition to what exists already. It means that people who are at the convention centre aren't going to need to cross the hub to get to the station. They can go from wherever they are at. There will also be a new multi-story car park built next to Disney Village. As well as we previously reported, there's going to be an expansion to Disney Village, including a new World of Disney store. But there is no news on the third gate. Disney have got to break ground on the third gate by 2015 to fulfill the sort of contract that they signed way back in the 80s, really. So, interesting to see, you know, what happens there. This is something they're going to announce later. But again, you know, it looks like Disneyland Paris is growing. Disneyland Paris is on the up. You know, they're happy to start expanding again.
Well, to be honest with you, any sort of extra hotel around that lake is great because fans are eating and drinking around the lake, so that's good. We discussed this already. And the expansion has really become very rapid now, and we're starting to get the momentum for it. So, absolutely amazing. Downtown, Disney Village does need expanding anyway. You know, we need more Starbucks and things like that, McDonald's, Burger King's.
Okay.
Stitch Shop.
Stitch Shop and Starbucks together, that'd be good. Right, should we head into the park then? And let's just a few bits of news with regards to the parks itself. Firstly, the winter season is, of course, upon us. It began a few days ago. And over in Disneyland Park, there's two changes and additions that are coming. Firstly, a new show is coming for the winter season. And it seems finally, after 4 years, the Royal Castle stage will once again be used for a new show. Now, rumours circulated way back in August that a new show starring Snow White and her Prince Charming was coming for the holiday season. There wasn't really much else heard, except for when they announced the release of Snow White on Blu-ray, and it seems that these rumours were becoming more credible. Now, Disney launched a press release about the Christmas season, and this new mini show had been advertised as part of it. Now, there's no lavish set or props. There's a few barrows with diamonds in, and that's really about it. And the cost, obviously, is very, very, very minimal for the show, and they've tried to try to keep it as interesting as they can without using a lot. It's very rare that all seven dwarves are found in Paris together, and this show is bringing them all back together. As I've said, it's a very simple show. It just very quickly, in about 15 minutes, tells the story of Snow White using some of the songs. There's obviously some dancing there as well. And it seems that one of the pieces of music they're using is from the happy ending segment of Fantillusion. So another new element that they've added. You know, very simple show being performed a few times a day, but it's something, you know, another princess element, I suppose, that they seem to be pushing a lot of at the minute.
Well, Paris does exceptionally well these shows. There's no doubt about it. There's some amazing shows. Like the fact that it's very rare to see all seven dwarves together. So is this some kind of reunion party as well?
Yeah, I think it is. Seven dwarves reunion. Oh, dear me. They all found each other on Friends Reunited, and they've all come together, especially for this show for Christmas.
Or one off.
This is your life. Okay, Craig, you're a big Snow White fan, aren't you?
I don't mind Snow White, yeah. Not my favourite princesses, but she'll do, you know. I can associate more with the dwarfs, to be honest with you. I can't believe that stage hasn't been used for 4 years.
Yeah,
I haven't been for five.
They've been using it for
meet and greets. Because I'm going.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Of course, Snow White, same initials as SeaWorld, which we know is, of course, your favourite place. If you don't know about that, listen to the Iron Orlando podcast and you'll hear all about it. Right, the Once Upon a Dream Parade is, of course, continuing throughout the Christmas season, but there's, again, the Christmas unit that's sort of added to the end of the show. That's once again coming back with the toy soldiers. But it seems that Santa, bless him, has had an upgrade. He's got a new sleigh. The sleigh is in a galleon sort of shape, which is very strange. It's green. It's very ornate. It's a fantastic looking sleigh. And it's got his reindeer. What they used to use is real reindeer at the front. And you used to sort of have to imagine that they were pulling it along, pulling his sleigh along. But this year they've actually transformed what used to be horses on the front of this this sort of parade float, which Santa's now on, which is coming through the streets. Now, interesting thing is, now we say that Disney like to recycle things, and obviously Disney never throw anything away, because the parade float they've used as part of the Once Upon a Dream parade, this is entitled Dreams of Christmas now, is a parade float taken from the Wonderful World of Disney Parade and the Disney Classics Parade, which was actually performed way back in 1992. So they've obviously got some massive storeroom somewhere where they're able to store this stuff. But it certainly looks an impressive new float. Have you seen any pictures, Juz?
Haven't. Can you just say the horses are reindeers?
The horses, they were originally horses, and they've sort of given them a makeover, so they now look like reindeer.
They're still really horses.
But they used to be horses, yeah. They're not horses, and they've stuck reindeer horns on them. No, they've obviously, you know, stripped them back and painted them and created them, turned them into reindeers rather than horses. But you can tell they're from the old Cinderella float just from the angle that they're at, almost as if they're about to take off, but almost like they're galloping, I suppose. But they're definitely the old horses from the Cinderella float.
Right, so the horse, then reindeers.
So they're now reindeers, and they were horses. Yeah, that's it. Right, let's head into. Oh, it's just very confusing. It's too late. Walt Disney Studios, then, we're heading across the courtyard, and there's one little bit of news just to let you know about, and that is the Stars and Cars event that happens over there, which was originally the Stars and Cars Parade over in Disney Hollywood Studios in Orlando. It was brought over here, given a slightly different twist. As well as it being a parade, it's also a stage show that happens at the end. They sort of parade through the park, park the cars up, get out, perform a little stage show, and off they go. And it was the stage show that's been causing issues, because, of course, everyone has followed the parade up through the park, and it's got to this small stage, and everyone's crowded around the stage, and there's so many people there, people just can't see what is going on. And Disney have sort of addressed this issue by putting a huge screen on top of what used to be the Disney Channel building. Now, this screen is playing a pre-recorded version of the live show. So you'll actually see that there's a slight discrepancy between what's happening on stage and what's happening on the screen, if you can see both of them. It has been pre-recorded, but it is in sync with the show, so you won't find that the one of them is miles out with the other. Everything fits together. You know, okay, it's not quite the same as watching the show live, but certainly beats the crowd.
Wonder why they've done that. Why aren't they filming it just from a camera?
I suppose if you record it once, it's a case of pressing the button rather than having to have cameramen and all that sort of stuff as part of it.
That's just cheating, though.
And also, if the crowd can't see, it's going to be very difficult to get a decent angle if there was a live cameraman.
Okay.
One last bit of news then. This is a bit of Disney Brit / Mouse Meets news we're going to give you now, although there will be a Mouse Meets update a little bit later in the show. And that is that we've been able to extend the booking window for Mouse Meets from the 6th of November, which has just passed, to the 13th of November. Now, if you've not got your booking form in, you're still really keen on wanting to come to Mouse Meets to take opportunity of the €149 a night for Newport Bay Club, then you can still do it. You can still download from www.disneybrit.com/mousemeets.asp. You can still download the booking form there to get it faxed in before the 13th of November, and they'll be able to sort that out for you. That's no problem whatsoever. So, we've been able to get an extension. We've been really lucky with that. So if you do still want to go and you haven't got your booking form and anything in yet, please do get that in. It'd be great to see you there. There's a new news, I think. I don't think there's much else. I think, Craig, have you got a request? I think you have, haven't you?
I have, but I need you to say it now.
Oh, of course, because the kids are all listening. Craig is basically taking his children to Disneyland Paris in January. It's part of their Christmas present. And if you are going out to Disneyland Paris anytime soon, obviously before we go out for Mouse Meets, and you can pick up a map for the Disneyland park and a times guide, that sort of stuff, and you could send them to Craig so we can get his kids to unwrap it on Christmas Day, he would be very, very grateful. I think that's everything, isn't it?
That is yes, sir. Yes, please, if you could, that would be great. If not, Adam, you can get it for me at Mouse Meets.
I can get you for it at Mouse Meets. If not, if you've already got one or you can send one, please email us, disneybrit@hotmail.com, and I'll pass on the information to Craig so he can contact you. Right, there we go. That is all of the news.
Woohoo!
As we mentioned a little while back, well, actually a few episodes ago, we talked to you about Epcot's Food and Wine Festival. And Craig is currently, as you know, out in Orlando, and he is at the Epcot Food and Wine Festival. Now, on the last episode of the show, we rang him from Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party to get a little bit of review about that. So what we're going to do now is to ring Craig over at Epcot's Food and Wine Festival, find out what he's eaten, where he is. Hopefully, he'll be at another kiosk about to eat something else so we can get a little bit of review from him. So we're going to give Craig a ring now, and let's find out a little bit more about where he is and what he's been up to. So here we go. We are ringing Craig as we speak. We're just waiting for that call to go through so we can get that ringtone. Hello, how are you?
I'm all right. I've actually got a mouthful at the moment. I've done.
Oh, that's okay. Right.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Are you there?
I am, yeah, I'm here. Yep.
So where are you right now?
Right now, I've just walked into the Liberty Inn restaurant to get some water to wash down my New Orleans bread and butter pudding.
Is that what you've just eaten, is it?
Yeah, I've just eaten the last mouthful.
Can we get a good review then? So what, a review on this bread and butter pudding. What was it like?
Okay, that was actually a praline bread butter pudding from New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
It was $3. It was really quite nice, actually. It portioned in two big, but I didn't want it too big because I had lunch at the Cellier today, so I'm only eating for the best of you.
And how was Le Cellier?
You know what? That was really, really nice. The first time I've ever been in there, and it is quite small. It's a beautiful setting as you walk through the garden to get to the restaurant.
Yeah.
Really nice garden. So we went in, we sat down. I just had the kind of pretty standard, if you've never been there before, the cheddar chili soup. I had the filet mignon, which came with a mushroom risotto, and then I had a maple syrup creme brulee. And Debs didn't fancy the mushroom risotto, so she had the New York strip. Her steak wasn't as nice as mine. Mine was much nicer steak. But, I mean, it was still really good. It was as good as a California grill. I wouldn't say it was any better, but it certainly was as good as. The mushroom risotto was really nice.
That sounds good.
It had steak as well, and they pulled no punches. They said it was as good as the California grill as well. And, you know, it's not cheaper than the California grill as well. So, yeah, really, really nice. They said the most delightful pudding. She had this chocolate mousse cake, and it came up and it looked like a little mousse, the way they decorated it. It was really lovely, like a sour and smooth cake. Very, very nice.
So you
highly recommend it.
So the Epcot with Food and Wine then, so far you've done, is it Chile and you've done New Orleans?
Yeah, and we've also done Japan, just, you know, for the benefit of the show, that we had a spicy tuna roll from Japan that was $3.75.
And how was that?
She quite liked that. It also happened what she thought it would be. But no, she did quite like it. It was very small, though. It was very small. It was either that or a spicy beef roll. So she went with the tuna one, and she quite liked that. But the best thing so far actually was in Chile. And I had this, I keep receiving my pocket, so
yeah,
that I can pronounce it properly. I'm good at pronouncing things, as you know. So we had the kids picked it. It was a corn cheese arepa.
Okay.
It was a bit like the kind of, like a rice cake. It looked like a rice cake, but it was made of corn with melted cheese on. Came up on a, it was like round, but it was really, really tasty. And it was only $3. And then with that, Deb decided to try the wine. And she had the Sauvignon Blanc from Chile. And we all know Chile does good wine anyway. Really nice. It's a really hot birthday, and she really enjoyed that. So yeah, we're walking our way around. Next one is Italy. The kids are just bringing their passports as we go to the countries we didn't do in August. We'll have something to eat in Italy and some more drink, I think.
So you're going to be eating in Italy, are you?
I'm definitely.
So
you can't go for that one and not have anything.
So let's. Should we give you a ring a little bit later in the show when you get to Italy and find out what you've eaten there and how that tastes?
Okay, that sounds like a fantastic idea.
Sounds great. Also, have you had a chance to get over to Some of All Thrills yet?
No, we haven't. No, we came here, and I have to say big thanks to Jeff and Cheryl and our neighbours. They brought us into Liverpool team, and they brought us into the park for free today, which is really, really kind of them. So we came in them this morning, and we've been able to soaring twice test track twice.
Okay.
And then we've come over to, because it was, by the time we finished all of that, it was about 11:30, and we had reservations at the Cellier for just 12:12, and I had to get some snacks in on the way. So I haven't been over there yet, but we're definitely going to do that. Jazz was telling me it'd be so busy, you should go there first. So I might be cursing myself later on.
Yes, possibly. Right, OK, well, we'll give you a ring a little bit later on then and find out what you thought of the Italy Pavilion's fair, I suppose.
Oh, why not? OK, I should bring out some more food. I'll check at the show, of course.
Of course, it's all part of a research trip, and there's no other reason to do it.
Yeah, I'll send you the receipt.
OK, then, we'll speak to you a little bit later.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye, mate.
Bye.
Whenever you come to a stately mansion here in the UK, you think of elegance, you think of beauty, you think of the National Trust. But the one thing you don't think of is a UK Disney pin trading meet. Well, I am here at Theobald Park in Chestnut in Hertfordshire, where we are about to start what I believe is the first UK non-Disney organised pin trading event. So I'm going to go in, I'm going to go meet some people. We're going to find out what it is they like about Disney pin trading, what it is that really attracts them, and they're going to see if they can convert me to becoming a pin collector. So let's go in. Okay, we're going to come over and see these people over here. There's a table in front of me that's got loads of pins. And these belong to you, don't they, Phil?
They do, yes.
And you are a big pin trader. Is that a big fact? Could we say a big pin trader?
Relatively large, yes.
Come on, you've got to admit, how many pins have you got that you're not trading?
Just collected just over 1,000 now. I'm at about 1,010.
Right, so Phil's at 1,010. Now, I've openly admitted on the podcast that I know absolutely nothing about pin trading other than the fact you go to nice people and say, do you want to swap? And they usually say yes. But to me, if I see a pin and I like it, I'll go and get it because I quite like it. But, you know, you are obviously into this pin trading thing in a huge way. So what is it for you that makes pin trading such a big thing?
Lots of things. It's something that all my family enjoy, both myself, my wife and my daughter, all enjoy collecting pins, so it's something we can do collectively as a family. They're so diverse, the amounts of different pins you can collect, different characters, different films. It's just a great thing to collect. You meet great people, you open up and you start talking to people you've never spoken to before. It's just a great way of getting to know new people.
Now, I've got to admit, since we've been here, 2.5 hours now, and I haven't got any pins to trade. I'm just watching everybody else have fun. But I've been looking through some of these pin trading books that these guys have got, and I've got to admit, there's something about this. There's like the chance to look at all these different things and see all these really great pins that there are, and it's almost like it's a free hobby in the sense that if you've got 5 or 6 pins that you like and then you suddenly decide you want to trade them, you can then suddenly have 5 or 6 new pins and you haven't had to pay for them. And it's like an evolving hobby that doesn't cost you any more than the outset. Right, let's come around and see who else we've got. So who have we got here?
Hi, I'm Sharon.
Okay, I've got to explain. Sharon is wearing Minnie Mouse ears and a Mickey Mouse waistcoat, okay, at nowhere other than some sort of Disney event would you get somebody wearing this sort of stuff. And are you a big pin trader?
No, not really. I'm quite new to it.
So, and you and your... Is it your husband that do it between you? And he's the bigger... Is he the bigger pin trader of the two of you?
He trades more. I collect more.
So, okay, so he trades and you collect. So you spend the money and he does it on the freeway.
Basically, yes.
Okay. Right, your husband, he's over there. We're going to go and find him in a minute. We'll go and grab him in a second. Okay, let's come around here. And who's this?
It's Mark.
And Mark, are you a pin trader by any chance?
I am a pin trader, yes.
Now, I talked to Mark earlier and you thought Phil was bad. Okay, Mark, how many have you got?
I've just got over 5,500 of them.
Okay, 5,500. So Mark's got his own house just for his pins, and then he lives somewhere else, obviously. And a second mortgage.
And now a third coming up, yeah.
5,500 pins. Now, there'll be people listening to this podcast who will be saying, I bet you he doesn't have the slightest clue as to what they all are. Why have you got so many? What is the reason for you having so many pins?
I'm a bit of an addict, as you can probably gather from what I've... Yeah. And once I get the compulsion to do it, I want to have the things that I want. So I collect everything that I like. And the thing about pin trading is you can collect so many different things, like Phil said. Now, I started off with just Mickey and Minnie, and then it went to Pirates, then it went to Stitch, and all of a sudden I found things that I wanted to complete the set of, because they make it in like certain ways that, you know, there's like 20 of one set, so I just wanted all of them. And it just went from there.
And I suppose this is a little bit of a thing with regards to, in a way, it's the hidden Mickeys idea, that if you're going through a park and you know where the hidden Mickeys are and you're looking for them, it's the same idea with pins, that you're looking out for a certain pin. It's like a bit of a sort of a mobile scavenger hunt, I suppose, is it?
It's fantastic, yeah. The cast members are just so good as well. I mean, they're so friendly and open to the idea of what we do. And they're just there. Every time you come, just grab them. You know, they're just there. And so they give you like, the pins basically just for any other pin. They don't care what it is. So they're just happy to give you the pin that you want. And you just keep going from there.
Right, OK, this pin trading thing's starting to sound quite interesting then. Well, we're going to go over to a man who's a bit famous. Kevin, OK, bless him. Just to let you know, Kevin's currently stood here with this smile on his face to say, go away and leave me alone, right? No, Kevin. Kevin is a little bit famous in the fact that he is a member of the WDW News Today Hall of Fame. Is that true?
It is, yes.
This is John Rick's best friend in the UK. Is that right?
Possibly, but I think Tom Cordis might have something to say about it.
Tom listens. He's fine. I'll talk to him for you. It'll be all right. You can go up the pecking order. Kevin runs several... You run several groups in the UK with regards to pin trading, don't you?
I run the United Kingdom Disney Pin Traders on Facebook.
And were you responsible for this event?
No. This is down to a lady called Jackie Casket over on the Dispins forum website, whatever you want to call it. She provided the room, which is very good of her. And I've promoted it along with several other people just to see who would come along and how it would be taken up.
And I think we have to say a massive thank you to Jackie, although unfortunately she's not here because she's poorly, she's in hospital, and we wish her well. But this is, I think we've decided this is the first ever UK pin event that hasn't been organised by Disney.
Definitely.
So it's the first one outside of a Disney store. And it's amazing. We've got probably 15 people or so here who are all mad Disney pin traders. I've never seen so many pins in my life. There's people who, as we've already heard, collected 5,000. But we're going to say hello to somebody here who is, I think, Jackie's best mate. Is that right?
I would say yes, that's probably true, yeah.
Now, this is the lady who's in charge of making sure these people don't break out into fights or anything over pins. And you are?
My name's Yvette Hughes.
And Yvette, you are, as we said, Jackie's best mate.
Yeah.
And you are a pin trader?
Probably yes. Yes, I probably have to admit, you know, I would have to stand up. If there was a Pin Traders Anonymous meeting, I probably would have to stand up and say that, yes. Yes.
And how long have you been collecting pins for?
Probably about 3 or 4 years, with Jackie's encouragement very, very much. You know, being given lists of pins to go and buy in the parks and then saying, oh, that's rather nice. Yes, so it was very sort of Jackie's encouragement to actually get involved sort of, you know, via the back door she did it. You know, she encouraged me into it. So.
Good, OK. Well, I'm pleased you're here. I'm pleased you sorted this. I'm pleased Jackie sorted this, because it is great to see so many enthusiastic people about with pins. And I must admit, there's a few Haunted Mansion ones I've seen that I really like. And as I say that, Haunted Mansion pins are being pointed out to me. We've got Gus and all the other guys from the Haunted Mansion here. There's loads. If I just tell you in front of me now, I've got loads of pin boards that have just got all these pins on them. Some Pirates of the Caribbean stuff. There's like the Disney Family ones on there. It's a Small World. All sorts of stuff. Believe me, if you can imagine a pin, I think you can probably buy it. Okay, these belong to?
Dave Murphy and Pat Baker.
And you're a bit of a pin trader?
Collecting for that last few years, well, that last 5-6 years, from one of our many trips to Orlando. We started over there and just started collecting.
Now, the reason I came today is because, number one, this is the inaugural UK Disney pin trading event. But also, I've never really completely understood this huge fascination with pin trading. And I've sort of begun to understand a little bit more as I've been here today, just what the fascination is with it. What is it for you? What makes pin trading so exciting?
Just a fairly cheap hobby. You can spend as little or as much as you wanted on that particular hobby. And as long as you collect something that you like, character you like, or theme park ride, character, movie, Disney have got every angle covered for their pins that you can collect.
Can you explain to me a little bit about this pin training? Because obviously you go about collecting all of these pins and you say you want to collect a load of pins for certain characters, but then suddenly do you not have to give them away to get new pins? So if you've got a set and then suddenly have to give a set away to get something else, how does it work? Do you have extras? Do you have more than one of each pin?
Obviously all the Disney outlets sell the pins at various prices depending on whereabouts you are in the world. Some pins are cheaper than others, so if you wanted to collect a certain character, if you wanted to purchase pins of a cheaper value at another outlet and then trade on for the pins you wanted. So it's normally done on a one-for-one basis, limited for a limited pin, a core pin for a core pin. But obviously there are some slightly cheaper pins than more expensive pins, and it all depends with who you're trading with and how old the pin is, whether they will do a cheaper pin for a more expensive pin or...
Okay. Right, thank you, Dave. I'll leave you there to carry on with your pins here. We're going to come round and we're going to come and speak to Sam. Now, Sam's running away. Sam's nervous, bless her, because she's like, oh, don't talk to me, but I'm going to talk to you anyway. You all right, Sam?
I am nervous.
Now, you work at Disney Store, don't you?
I do. I think I'm allowed to say I do.
Yeah, I'll let you. Nobody knows. You're called Sam. Do you find a huge amount of people come into the stores just for pins?
Not a huge amount, but there are people that specifically come into the stores on days when pins are released.
Okay, so on release days they come in. And are you finding that this pin trading thing is getting bigger and bigger within UK stores now?
Certainly, yeah, because since I've been a CM, there's actually another 4 or 5 CMs that have actually started pin trading themselves.
Ah, okay. Now, you're fairly new to this. I know you were saying that you've been doing this for 3 or 4 months or so. How are you finding getting into this? How do you find out about who's trading pins and where to go and how to do it?
Basically, just getting out and speaking to people, as in with anything, any situation. You've got to speak to people, have a chat, see how things work, and I think that's the same in any situation you're in.
And I think, you know, Facebook is such a fantastic thing these days. Half the guys that are here today, I think, found out because it was put on Facebook. Yeah. Some other people found out it was put on the Dispins forum as well. So it really is just networking.
Yeah, it was through Facebook that I found out about the event. I think it was actually Philip that posted it on Facebook and then put the link on to Dispins. So, yeah.
Right, thank you. I'll leave you to it. You'll feel free to go now. You can relax. Breathe deep. It's all fine. But we're coming to you now. Because
I can't run away. Then.
Sam's gone, but you can't run away. You are?
Colin.
This is Colin. This is Sam's better half, other half. Delete as appropriate. So you're also new to pin trading. But I've noticed you have your laptop out. Why is that?
It was so that I could check some more in a series of one that I just traded for.
And what is this on?
It's on PinPix.
So is this a website designed specifically for pin traders?
Yes, yes.
Okay, what, can you get pins off there, or can you just find out pictures of individual pins?
Both. You can trade and find pictures of pins. You add the ones you've got, and you can put on the ones you want and what you've got to trade.
And on your table here, we've got 2 cork boards which are covered in pins. Now, bearing in mind, apparently you've only been trading for a few months.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of pins here. So, how are they just Sam's about?
Yeah, I left mine behind.
Ah, that's right. They've driven 3 hours from Exeter, and apparently Colin's left his at home. There's no arguments. They're quite happy with each other. So there's nothing wrong going on.
Seen it in the car.
Okay, the car trip was the problem. But okay, these are just Sam's. Now, I was just saying to someone, they were sort of saying that this bin trading thing is actually quite a cheap way because you can buy a few and then you trade them. But it seems that in the months that you've been collecting, you've already got loads of pins. So what are you doing? Are you just buying them and then trading them, or are you just buying a lot of pins?
Sticking to ones we like. I'm trying to keep myself really narrow on the ones that I'm collecting, but it's very easy to spread out. You get one pin of a collection and then you want the rest of that set.
So as soon as you see one you like of the set, then suddenly you're going to go for another one. Because
yeah.
I noticed you've got a set of 5 there that are Euro Disney that are obviously quite old pins. So did you trade them as one complete set, or did you get them individually?
She got those ones as a complete set. There are lots of people that trade as sets or individually. So.
Right, okay. Thank you, Colin. I shall leave you. We've just got a couple more people we're going to come and speak to. And one of them is Jonathan, who's just here. And if you want to know anything about Disney pin trading, Jonathan is the man to speak to. He's just talking to our star, Kevin, so I'm going to come back to him in a second. We're just going to come round and just say this. One of the person we've not spoken to, we're going to quickly say hello. You're going to come and say hello. Who is this here?
Oh, Pat.
This is Pat. Pat's looking at me stunned because she wasn't expecting me to come anywhere nearer. Pat, you're with Dave, aren't you?
Yes, I am, yes.
And you're a big pin trader?
I am, yes. Tinkerbell. I collect a lot of Tinkerbell, so anything to do with Tinkerbell.
So you're one of these pin traders who goes for one set and sticks to it?
Yes.
Okay, so not like some of the guys here who have 5,000. Do you find it easy? Is that easy to do, just to stick to one set and not see another pin and think, oh, I quite like that, you know, that might change that?
I'm actually going to start collecting something else now, to be honest, because I've got quite a lot of Tinkerbell pins and I want to try and do something else. So I'm thinking of doing Jiminy Cricket.
So Jiminy Cricket's your next one. Okay, so you're going for the classics still, staying in the classics area. Do you find that you buy a lot of pins or do you trade most of yours?
Trade a lot of pins.
So it's another hobby for you that doesn't cost you a lot after the outset?
No, I mean, we tend to buy bulk and then we actually sort of take them to, you know, when we go away on holiday, we take them and just swap them. Or, like, you know, at the moment Dave buys a lot off eBay and then we do it that way.
So the bulk that you buy, are they pins that you just buy as like, I suppose, stock for swapping?
Yeah.
So it's not that you buy them and they're ones that you want to keep, you actually just buy them just to swap?
Yeah, we just buy them to swap. I mean, we go through them, see which ones we want to keep and then get rid of the rest.
Okay, good idea. And can you buy, like, just bulk packs? Do people buy just sell bags of pins?
Yeah, you can buy bags of 100 and things like that on eBay and that, and that's how we started and do it that way.
And it really is, as we've already said, quite a cheap thing to do. Right, I am just going to come and cut in on Jonathan, who is still talking. He's amazing what this man knows about Disney. Honestly, he knows everything. You're the only guy I've not spoken to. I've spoken to everybody else in here. Now, your wife tells me that you're the collector and she's the spender.
Yes.
So you do all the trading, you do the free stuff, and she spends it all. What do you collect? What are your specialities?
I collect hotels we've stayed in when we've gone to the parks, and rides as well, and anything that catches my eye.
And do you find that you stick to trading the same ones each time, or is there certain ones that you keep now and you won't take with you?
There are certain ones I will keep if I've seen a nice pin. For instance, the Up Balloon ones that you got free when you went to the cinema in the UK. They're quite collectible at the moment now. So I've always got one in my lanyard for trading with something you particularly like to see.
Have you got more than one of those?
Yes, I've got one on my wall at home.
Right, okay. And you were also talking about earlier these hidden Mickey pins. And I haven't heard anything about these, and you've got one here. What are these hidden Mickey pins?
What you'll see is a design of a pin, and surreptitiously tucked away in a corner somewhere in the design and artwork of the pin, you'll see a little Mickey. For instance, I've got one here of a teddy bear, which is Mickey Mouse's teddy bear from the Japanese park in Tokyo. And in a very small corner there on the left-hand side, you'll see a little silver gold Mickey head. And these are hidden Mickeys. These come from the actual parks themselves, where if you're in one of the parks in Florida or Anaheim or in Paris or any of the parks in the world, look around the park and you'll see what they call hidden Mickeys. It could be a topiary bush in the shape of a Mickey Mouse head, could be a railing, could be a bit of artwork of a hidden Mickey, and that's where these pin badges come from.
Okay, so he's also got this wonderful Disney Brit badge on there. I don't know where he got that from. Pin etiquette. You know, what is pin etiquette in the parks? How does it work? Can you just go up and swap every single pin with a cast member, or is there certain ways you have to do it?
Always be polite and kind to the person you're speaking to. I normally go to the French park, so always check the language of the person you're with. In America, it's not so much of a problem because most people speak English there, but in France, because it's a European park, multilingual, most people tend to speak a little bit of English, and you can get away by pointing to pin to pin. And, you know, always basically look at the lanyard. Anything on someone's jacket or coat, they're not swapping, basically. So anything on a lanyard is normally free game for swapping, except the big dangly things at the bottom. Now, the danglers, people don't tend to swap those, it's only the pins on the lanyard itself. And just say, hello, hi, see your pin trading. Would like to do a swap with me today. They'll say yes or no, you know. And you can basically go, ooh, what pin would you like to swap for? You know, you may see something on their lanyards from 100 yards, and you think, ooh, I need that one, because it completes the collection, and you just wander over and introduce yourself. And you go, ooh, would you like to swap a Donald Duck for a Mickey Mouse? And if they're happy with that, you do the trade. Always take the pin off and make sure the sharp points are covered with the with the tags, and then just trade them out.
And can you actually say no? Can you?
You can always refuse if you don't want to trade one. Because it could be, for instance, you're wearing a limited edition of pin that could only one of 300, and someone's going to swap with a core pin, which is the millions made, and it's not worth the value of the same pin.
Yeah.
Some people aren't as fussy as that, because they will swap just for the fun of swapping, basically, because you can always swap that core pin for something else in the future and trade it with another badge of a higher value or a more limited edition value of pin.
Right, well, thank you very much. You know, I came here today thinking, you know, pin trading, we'll give it a go and see what it's like. And, you know, when I go to Disneyland Paris beginning of December, I might just pick up a few pins because I'm sort of beginning to see now this idea of why people do it. It's like, I suppose, the fun of the chase and the opportunity to collect something, and it doesn't necessarily cost you more because you're swapping what you've already got. So I think I might give it a go when I go in December.
Yeah, a good way to start would be to buy a lanyard in the UK from the UK Disney store. And just buy some core pins. They're only £3 each from the Disney store in the UK. Just get some standard cheap value core pins. Do some trading in the Disney store as well with the cast members. And then go over to Paris with a lanyard full of British pins and trade them from pins from all over the world.
I shall do that. Thank you very much. I'm going to bring you now day 9 and day 10 of the audio diary here out in Orlando. Just wanted to let you know a little bit more about what's been going on. To tell you about day 9 and day 10, we basically spent both of those days in Epcot. First day, we probably arrived around 9:30-ish, reasonably quiet, in fact very quiet for that time of year. And we went and started and concentrated on Future World. Always do this, and it's a tip that I, you know, want to pass on to you guys. If you are arriving early, the best thing to do is to get a fast pass for either Test Track or Soarin', depends on which one's got the longest queue, and then ride the other attractions straight away. The queues there can build up quite a lot, and fast passes quite often have gone by sort of 11:30, 12:00. So we rode Test Track, and we fast passed Soarin', and we went over there and did that, and then we went for a wander around Future World, really. Did pretty much the whole of Future World. We sort of left the park about 4:30, 4:00, and then came back to the hotel for a swim. We went to the Electric Umbrella for lunch. I hadn't eaten there before, hadn't experienced it, so I thought we'd go and try. It's just a counter service place, just as the usual burgers, etc. Not my favourite place in the world. A bit disappointed. It was very busy. It was very crowded. The service was extremely slow. I did have a turkey sub, which was quite nice, but still not a place that I'd definitely choose to go back for again. So we left the park, as I say, about 3:30, 4:00, and then we went back to the hotel and had a swim. The next day, we got up reasonably early. We went over to Epcot again. We actually went to Perkins for breakfast. I haven't done that for a while. Had another steakhouse scrambler, which are amazing. If you've ever had one, you'll know what I'm talking about. We then went and headed back to Epcot. We arrived about 11:30, 12:00, and we did World Showcase this time. Started off in Mexico and made our way through. We got just short of the American Adventure Pavilion, about halfway. But the heat was extremely hot. The humidity was extremely high. So we decided that it was probably worth going back. We did have a bit of rain as well. It was quite entertaining watching my wife with a pint of beer in her hand get stuck in the middle of a rainstorm and not quite sure where to go because my little boy was too busy watching the trains in Germany. Always quite entertaining. But we decided it was just too warm, and we sort of just walked around the rest of the World Showcase to get ourselves out, stopped off in France at the bakery and got a pastry for lunch, and then came home. That evening, we went off to the Contemporary. We went for dinner at California Grill. We had a reservation for 9:35, so we went straight over there. Excellent service, as always. I had the fillet of beef, which, just like the last time I had it, is still the best piece of steak I've ever had in my life. Absolutely phenomenal food. Phenomenal service. Not the cheapest place in the world, California Grill. I think fired fillet of beef was around $44. So, you know, if you're going to go there, it's really one of those to make it your big meal of the holiday. And we went out, managed to get out for the fireworks. We watched Wishes from the observation deck up there at the California Grill and had an excellent, excellent evening. There you go. That is day 9 and day 10.
When we spoke to Craig a little bit earlier in the show, we said we'd give him a ring when he got round to Italy and he was going to do a live food review for us. Well, Craig has made his way round to Italy, so we're going to give him another ring And we're going to find out just how good the food is over at Italy. So here we go. We are ringing in once again. Just waiting for that to go through and connect.
Hello.
Hello, Craig.
Hi, Adam.
How are you going?
I am doing all right. How are you?
I'm fine. Have you made it to Italy?
I've made it to Italy. I am standing right now by the Smith and Stout station in Italy, Kieran.
Yeah.
It just felt to fall into the little model train.
Okay.
So, on the menu today, I'm going to order some pizza.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Okay.
It's an Italian pizza. And, hello, can I have a pizza and a glass of Chianti, please?
Okay, so pizza and a glass of Chianti, that's an interesting combination.
Yeah, no, well, I know what one Ollie's going to end up with, which won't be the Chianti, but there you go. Thank you very much. $1.50. Kieran, come here. Right before I lose a child, I shall walk over to collect my food.
Right.
Let's have a look. Here he comes.
So you got a piece of pizza then, have you? What's the pizza got on it?
Hi. The pizza's got it, mozzarella, Italian ham.
Okay.
So, I've had a pizza in Italy before, so let's see how it compares better than the kind of American pizza.
Yeah,
coming out now. Oh, look at that. Can you hold that daddy? Thank you. I've got the Chianti. Thank you. Ciao. Thank you. Come over.
Ciao. Excellent. So you've even got the lingo going on.
Oh, it's multilingual me. I speak all languages. Right, the Chianti looks nice. I'll have a little sip before Dex gets hold of it. Oh, that's nice. I like the Chianti red. Let me just hand this over to Miss Happy. Hold on a minute. There you go, Deborah. A little bit out of my arse. Nice, won't it? Do you want to have a little bit? Do you have a bite? Hold on. Oh, you hold the plate, darling. We're going to bite this in three bits. Okay, so the pizza's probably about 4 or 5 inches across.
Okay.
Very, very thin. Got some lovely kind of mozzarella on it. A nice bit of spicy ham. Let me have a bite. Mmm. Okay, it's lovely. Okay, it tastes just like they do in Florence.
Excellent. That's always good news, that it tastes just like something you get in Italy.
It does, actually. It's really nice. It's really thin, and it's got kind of... The tomato actually tastes like tomato rather than like a tomato sauce.
Oh, that's good.
Or a chemi.
I can't believe you're still eating. I can't believe you're still eating, having been Le Cellier and doing all the others. I can't believe you're still going. You're not full yet.
Well, no, I am. I'm going to have to throw it all up in a minute. I'm just doing this in a bit of time. You know, these are for all the pod people that I'm going through this torture.
Of course, I can imagine.
You haven't said anything about Debbie keep drinking, Adam. I've noticed that you're having a pop at me about keep eating.
But no.
Her third glass of wine.
Her third glass of wine? Oh, in that case, yeah, Debbie's just as bad then.
In the head. Yeah. In the heat. So it's actually not that picky around all of the little food stores. What's interesting about Italy, though, is I nearly usually went to the wrong class to order the food because they've always got their counter service place. And I thought, no, that's actually it. They had some really nice Jetty ice creams that I quite fancy. But, you know, for the show, I said I would have food and wine and stuff, and Kieran is really tucking into this pizza now.
And is that the last thing you're planning on going to, or have you got the other a few other food stores you're going to go to as well?
Well, the last time we came here, we had this really nice... Sorry, I was just seeing, I've got a feeling. We just seen two people in electric scooters go past.
Oh, okay.
And Adam, you know, in the UK, you get buggy boards to go on the back of your buggy when you've got enough. They've got two buggy boards on the back of the electric scooters. So
fantastic.
There's two grown-up men in their 60s standing on the back of the... Sorry, back to the point. It's hilarious. We are, because last time we came, there were some really nice kind of Indian-type samosas. Can't quite remember where we got them from, but they're just one of those. So we're going to go around and get some of those. And I definitely want another pudding, because I had the praline butter pudding, but I want something quite cold.
Right, okay.
So,
I'm not at all jealous, you know. Of course, I'm sitting here in cold England. I've had fish and chips, proper UK fish and chips tonight, but it's not quite the same as, I think, going to Le Cellier and trying out Italian and food from Chile and all that sort of stuff. So I'll leave you with your Chianti and your pizza and everything else. And
thank you very much, mate.
Enjoy the rest of your trip around the world. Don't eat too much. We don't want you to, you know, explode. And tell Debs we don't want a falling in World Showcase Lagoon either. So take it easy on the wine.
I'll tell her, no worries.
Okay.
All right, mate.
Speak to you later.
Take care now.
Bye.
See ya.
It is with a little tinge of sadness, I suppose, that we bring you this Mouse Meets update, because it's likely that this is going to be the last update we bring you for the 2009 Mouse Meets over at Disneyland Paris. We are, of course, extremely excited at the fact that it's coming very, very soon. In fact, it's probably around 3 weeks from now that we could probably listen to this show that Mouse Meets is going to be happening. And with it being so close, and with us having really all of the information, we wanted to tell you a little bit more about what is going to be happening at Mouse Meets. Now, you'll find, as a download with this episode of the show, if you go into your iTunes link, you'll see there is also a download for the events guide for Mouse Meets. Now, this events guide is the official events guide. It's got all the official meets that are happening. If your meet is missing, it's really important. We've had a few technical issues with regards to the submission. The server and everything that's been trying to deal with it, which is unfortunately out of our control, has, for some strange reason, not been sending all of the emails through. Is that right, Juz?
It is indeed. It's not my fault, honest boss.
It's not our fault, but there's been a few issues where some of the meet requests, people have said, have you got a request? Have you got a request? And we've sort of said, well, actually, no, I'm sorry, we haven't. And you've had to submit it again. So if you have got a meet request, please do send it through, and we are going to try and get those included if we can. Right, so let's give you a rough idea of what's going to be happening over at Mouse Meets. Now, of course, it begins on Friday the 4th of December. We're going to have two unofficial meets in the evening. The very first one is going to start at 20 to 8, and it's going to be for an hour until 20 to 9. It's going to be happening over at the Hotel New York, and it's going to be the ice skating rink in Rockefeller Plaza, where those of you who are there, and if you're not there, don't panic, but those of you who are there, we're going to go and do some ice skating. So if you've never done some ice skating before, you want to give it a go, we're going to go and do some ice skating over on the synthetic ice rink. Costs €12 per adult or €10 without skates, and €9 per child or €7 without skates. But we just thought, you know, a nice activity to start off the event with. Then we're going to head back over to Newport Bay Club, where a lot of people are going to be basing themselves for the event. And we've got an event entitled Banter in the Bar, which is going to happen from 9:30 until, well, we've entitled it Late. It's over at the Fisherman's Wharf Bar in Newport Bay Club, where it's just an opportunity for everybody to get together, sit and say hello to each other, have a drink, you know, just relax by the fire, you know, that view over Lake Disney in the lovely winter weather that's going to be going on outside. We just want an opportunity for everyone to get together early. Now, just a warning that arrive early, because it's likely that people might head out to Disney Village afterwards, maybe go to Billy Bob's or to Hurricane's Nightclub if they're staying on site and getting there for free. So it may be that people disappear off site for a little while. Off at the hotel for a little while. So don't arrive too late if you are thinking about coming over. Now, just to let you know, these events are for anybody. You don't have to be staying at Newport. You can be just coming to one of them, coming to two of them. If you live in the local area, or maybe you're traveling down for the day or for the evening, then, you know, just feel free to come to any of these events whatsoever. Then that's really it for the Friday night. I don't think there's anything else, is there, Juz?
No, just drink. And if you don't want to ice skate, you can just sit next to it and drink.
That's your plan, isn't it?
Basically.
Then on Saturday, the 5th of December, then, let's start ourselves off nice and early on the 5th of December. We're going to have breakfast. If you are staying in the Newport Bay, we're going to be having breakfast. Breakfast is going to be around 7:30 that morning at one of the downstairs restaurants. I forgot off the top of my head which one it is. But that's going to be from 7:30 to sort of 8:30-ish. Now, with the extra magic hours happening from 8 till 9, it may be that you want to come down a little bit earlier, or it may be that you want to sort of nip off, have a quick breakfast and go straight over to the park. That's fine. The Mouse Meets registration, though, is going to happen at the bottom of Main Street at 9. There's going to be some bits and pieces there. We're going to have a group photo at 9:50 as well. Then at around 11:30, we're going to have what is really the first of one of our official events, and that is the second annual Buzz Lightyear Laser Blast competition. The first annual Buzz Lightyear Laser Blast competition happened this year, so it's kind of not annual, but as we're going this year, we thought we'd make it as the second annual. We're going to go along, we're going to have a bit of fun, everyone's going to compete against each other, so you can get the highest score on that. That's going to be going on till around 1 o'clock-ish. We're going to have 90 minutes worth of that there. Then there's the Pirates of the Caribbean group ride and photo. That's going to be about 1:30. Is that right, Juz?
It is indeed, yes.
That's 1:30 till about 2:00. There's going to be all sorts of bits and pieces that are going to be part of that. We're going to have a bit of fun over there. We're going to have a, give you a bit of a break, and then at 4:00 for an hour, 4 till 5, I am going to be holding a walking tour and group ride of Phantom Manor. Now, this walking tour is going to be designed to let you know a little bit more about Frontierland, the story of Frontierland, how Phantom Manor fits in, also the backstory and some ideas and some hidden secrets and things with regards to Phantom Manor itself. That'll then, of course, culminate in a sort of ride, and afterwards, if you want to stay around, we're going to do a walking tour of Boot Hill as well. Just to sort of had a preview of this, haven't you? I did a little bit when we went over in March.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, there's actually tons of things I haven't noticed, and some sad things you pointed out that I think most people probably just walk past and have never known they were there. So personally, I'd recommend it to anybody.
There's an awful lot, I must admit, within Phantom Manor that's well worth going to see. Okay, so then come about 5:15, we're going to be meeting over in Fantasyland. As It's a Small World has an overlay, we're going to go and enjoy the It's a Small World celebration group, and we're going to do that as a group ride, see if we can fill an entire boat with just all us Disney geeks and nutters, which should be a bit of a laugh. We're then going to head over to Main Street, USA. About 6:15, we're going to get over there, because at 6:30 is the tree lighting ceremony, something brand new for this year. They've not had the tree lighting ceremony for a few years now, and they've sort of redone it and made it look fantastic. So that's going to be happening. And then we're going to be sort of hanging around Main Street USA for quite a bit of the evening. We're going to go straight from the tree lighting ceremony that going to be having the It's Party Time with Mickey and Friends. That's around 7:00. But this is the show where they're going to also have the castle lighting sort of ceremony as part of it as well. If you've never seen it before, it's absolutely fantastic the way they do it. So that's going to be incorporated into that. Now, the bad news is, of course, that we have had to cancel the meal with the Imagineer. There just isn't enough people to do that. And we decided that we thought about, you know, maybe there's a possibility of still having a group meal at Walt's. But with everything that's going on in the park, we decided against that. And we're actually going to go for dinner at Casey's Corner, as we're on Main Street as it is. Go and enjoy one of those fantastic hot dogs and hang around Main Street for a little while. Probably got 45 minutes or so for hanging around for dinner before we find our places ready for the evening show of Fantillusion. That's going to start at 8:30. And then just to finish off the evening in the park, we thought, well, what is a great way? What's one of the last things we should do in the park before we decide to start to exit? And that is Big Thunder Mountain. But, of course, it's Big Thunder Mountain in the dark. So we're going to give that a go at night. We're going to see just how many times we can get around before they throw us off, and then make a casual walk out of the park, you know, as it starts to empty out. It's always lovely to walk through the park at night with very few people there. We're going to take a nice casual wander out of the park, and then the park really closes at 10 p.m. so that really takes us up to 10 p.m. we thought, well, you know, there's probably people who are going to want to go off to bed, and that's fine, but we have got Banter in the Bar Part 2, which is going to be happening probably around 10:30, 10:45, which is just again a chance to sit down and chill in the bar in the Fisherman's Wharf over at Newport Bay and enjoy a drink and a chat and that sort of thing before everybody might disappear off to bed or disappear off out again. Right, nearly there, I promise. Sunday, we are once again having breakfast. Breakfast is going to be 7:30 to 8:30 over in the Yacht Club in Newport Bay. We're going to enjoy that together and meet outside. We are then going to enjoy a group ride at 8:50, so 10 to 9. And we've tried to do this, so we've made it a time just before the park officially opens to everybody else. So as part of Extra Magic Hour, we're going to get there just into that Extra Magic Hour time and go and ride Crush's Coaster as one of the first things for the day. So that's 8:50. We've allowed ourselves about an hour for that, just in case there is still a queue. But, you know, it's an hour rather than a couple of hours. It's later. At 10 o'clock, we're then going to go and head over to Twilight Zone Tower of Terror for, again, a group ride. I've entitled this the Group Ride Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, also known as Listen to Adam Scream Like a Girl, because that is exactly what is going to happen on Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. It just scares me to death every time, and then I get off it and think it's wonderful. Now, you've noticed that there's a few rides in there at the beginning of the morning for the Mouse Meat stuff that's going on, but we are then going to record, although we're going to be recording little bits and pieces throughout the weekend, we're going to be doing the main bulk of our first live Disney Brit episode. We're going to be recording that in the Restaurant en Coulis upstairs in Studio One. If you're coming through the entrance, it's sort of on the right-hand side and upstairs. We're going to get together, we're going to record some bits and pieces with regards to Disney Brit Live, which will be good. We'll probably be there about 40-50 minutes or so. Although you don't have to have lunch with us, we decided we'd try and do some sort of lunch together. And we wanted to make lunch a little bit interesting. And we've decided we're going to have lunch over at the Blockbuster Cafe. And the reason we've done that is because there are two sides to Blockbuster Cafe, as you know now. One half is High School Musical, and one half is Pirates of the Caribbean. Now, the deal is we're going to have a bit of a debate. We're going to give one person the High School Musical argument, and we're going to give somebody else the Pirates of the Caribbean argument. And basically, you're going to argue about why we should sit in that particular area, and the best argument wins, right? So if you've got a brilliant argument for why we should sit in Pirates of the Caribbean and not High School Musical, get your argument sorted, because I'm going to judge who I think wins, and that's the area you're going to have to sit in. So I'm hoping High School Musical is going to win, just because it really annoyed us.
But that's got to be a good enough reason.
It's got to be a good enough reason, I think, hasn't it? Without a shadow of a doubt. So we're going to go and enjoy Blockbuster Cafe, and then we're going to head straight over to Stitch, because we have to go and do a group visit to Stitch live, especially with all of us in there. Hopefully one of us will get picked. We're going to go and basically see the next available English show after 1 o'clock. So if we get there for around one, and then hopefully it'll be sort of quarter past, 20 past one-ish, we'll be able to go into that one there. As we've already mentioned on the news, the Disney Stars and Cars event is happening. So we decided, I've certainly not seen it yet. I missed it last time I was out there, unfortunately. And there might be quite a few of you that have not seen it. So at 2:30, we're going to go and get ourselves ready for the Disney Stars and Cars event. It starts at about 2:45. So we're going to go and wait there and go and watch that. Then we thought we'd go and do something that would involve us enjoying sort of the history of the Disney company, but also we're going to do a bit of a competition. We're going to go over to the Art of Disney Animation building at about 5:00. We're going to go and enjoy that there. And we're then going to go into the animator section, go and watch a film. We're going to come out. And we are going to wait around for the next, if there is one, the next Disney artists demonstration, where you can go and sit down and draw your favourite Disney character. We're going to have a competition where everybody who's there, we're all going to take a table and we're all going to sit and attempt to make our very best drawing. And either myself and Juz, or the Disney artist, if he'll do it for us, is going to decide who out of all of us has drawn the best Disney character. And the one who draws the best is then going to be the winner. And they are basically going to get a prize. So that's the way that's going to work. That's going to be from about 5 till 6. And then, unfortunately, that nearly rounds up the whole of the Mouse Meets, where we're going to have a final farewell. And our final farewell is going to happen at 7:00. Just as Walt Disney Studios Parks closes. And we thought, well, where could we have our final farewell? Somewhere warm, somewhere cozy, somewhere where, I don't know, maybe we could get a coffee, sit and have a chat. And there was a request, there was a meet request that basically entitled this as Juz Books. Because we know how much Juz loves Starbucks. We also know that, you know, Juz is just desperate to get to Starbucks while he's out there. So our final farewell is going to be over in Starbucks in Disney Village, where we're going to sit and enjoy a coffee and say our fond farewells to everybody, maybe have a final photo before we all disappear off back to our everyday, normal, dull, boring lives. So there you go. That's sort of all the events that are going to be happening over those 3 days. Quite action-packed, really. You know, Craig, unfortunately, you're going to miss it, aren't you?
I am. It's a shame because it sounds a fantastic event. You guys have worked socks off for this, so I really, really hope it goes well. Good luck to you.
Thank you. And like we've already said, I think, you know, you don't have to come to all of these events. We've purposely tried to leave time where you can go off and enjoy the attractions by yourself, go and enjoy the things you want to enjoy. You know, it might be that you don't want to come to all of them. You want to come to one or two, and that is completely fine. We have no problems with that whatsoever. You know, if you want to just come over for one day, come over for one day. You don't have to stay in Newport Bay Club. I think that's one thing that I don't think we've stressed enough. That you do not have to stay in Newport Bay Club to come. You can come and stay wherever you want to. You'll be able to have this events guide so you know what exactly is going on. And you know, I'm really looking forward to it. Is there anything else you want to add, Juz?
No, I think you've covered it. I think you've done a cracking job with the programme schedule you've put together. So just waiting to see it as an awesome event, really.
I hope so. I hope it's going to be an awesome event. And roll on Mouse Meets 2010, that's all I say. There'll be some more information coming out about that. Probably January time, I would think. But that's it, really. That is the end of Mouse Meets. We thank again our sponsors who are going to be sponsoring the event. We thank Attraction Tickets Direct, of course, as always. TourImplants.com, Le Squeak Radio, who, if you've not been over, lesqueakradio.com is still going strong, I think, isn't it, Jez?
I hope so.
if not, you shouldn't be here. You should be over there sorting that out. But, you know, I'm really looking to the event. I'm actually sat here as we speak in my Mouse Meets hoodie. I've got it on. It's not old. It's my nice new Mouse Meets hoodie.
No, it's because it's cold.
It is cold. Yeah, it is cold. If you do want any of the Mouse Meets clothing merchandise, you can go to cafepress.com/mousemeats, and there is all sorts of stuff over there. T-shirts, hoodies, bags, there's all sorts of things over there. So if you do want something for the event, you do still have time to get that and should arrive with you before you come. I think that's everything. I can't think of anything else, and it sort of brings a tear to my eye as we finish with our last Mouse Meets update. That was a little tear, wasn't it, from you? That was fake. Right, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Ed.
Bye.
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 Hi, guys. This is your friend here and pal, Mickey Mouse. And I just want you to know that I listen to and love the Disney Brit Podcast with my good pals, Craig, Adam, and Jazz. Or is it Jules? Or is it Juvy, Jazzy, Jazzy, Jeff? Jazzy Jeff, that's right. Craig, Adam, and Jazzy Jeff. Anyhow, listen. Make sure y'all listen too, okay? See y'all real soon. Anyway, hope you're all sorted now. Oh, hey, yeah, that's the end of the message. Bye-bye!
Hello and welcome to the 17th edition of the Disney Brit Trivia Quiz. We once again have 8 questions for you as always, each of them getting progressively harder. So let's just remind you of how the game works. Like as I said, we've got 8 questions. Question 1 is worth 100 points, question 2, 200, question 3, 300, etc. All the way up to question 8, which is worth 800 points. You've got to compete against your friends, your family, to see who is the champion at this Disney Brit Trivia Quiz. So, without any further ado, let's play the 17th edition of the Disney Brit Trivia Quiz. Okay, so let's start off then at the beginning, as always, with question 1 for 100 points, and the question is as follows. Name the large parking area that serves both the Magic Kingdom and Epcot. So name the large parking area that serves both the Magic Kingdom and Epcot. Question 2 then for 200 points is the following. In which Disney attraction would you find President Barack Obama? So in which Disney attraction would you find President Barack Obama?
It's a world of laughter, a world of tears. It's a world of hopes and a world of fears. There's so much that...
Question 3 then, 300 points. This time we're going to go for a bit of a movie trivia question. Name the Lord of the Underworld in the movie Hercules. So 300 points. Question 3. Name the Lord of the Underworld in the movie Hercules.
It's a small world, after all. It's a small, small world.
Question 4. 400 points. In which Disney attraction might you hear the song Solo Pilot Blues? So in which Disney attraction might you hear the song Solo Pilot Blues? That's question 4, 400 points. Question 5 for 500 points. What is the only audio animatronic Disney character to appear in the Great Movie Ride? So I'll read it again. What is the only audio animatronic Disney character to appear in the Great Movie Ride?
Just one moon and one golden sun, and a smile means friendship to everyone. Though the mountains divide and the
Okay, question six, 600 points. Which is the only government-sponsored pavilion in Epcot? So I'll say it again. So which is the only government-sponsored pavilion in Epcot? And when I say that, I mean the one who had an awful lot to do with the building, construction, design, brought the artists over, etc. So which is the only government-sponsored pavilion in Epcot? That's question six for 600 points. And after that little ooh-la-la there, I suppose it's quite applicable for the next question to be Disneyland Paris. So question seven for 700 points. So in Disneyland Paris, name the avenue that passes directly outside Disneyland Park's Plaza Gardens. So I'll say it again. In Disneyland Paris, name the avenue that passes directly outside Disneyland Park's Plaza Gardens. And finally then, question eight. The hardest one. This one is for 800 points. Get this and don't get the others. You know, it could be a chance you beat the people you are playing against. So it is this. Peg Leg Pete, the pirate that used to live outside of Walt Disney World's Pirate of the Caribbean, was removed during its 2006 refurbishment. Where does he live now? I'll read it again. Peg Leg Pete, the pirate that used to live outside of... that used to live outside of Walt Disney World's Pirates of the Caribbean, was removed during its 2006 refurbishment. Where does he live now? There you go, then. That is all eight questions for this edition of the Disney Brit Trivia Quiz. Let's hope you did really, really well. I've tried to make them a little bit harder than some have been recently, so fingers crossed we've got a few people. But if you think you've got all eight right, as there are many people who seem to be doing really well with, then please do send your answers to disneybrit@hotmail.com. And of course, as always, we will read out those emails when we bring you the answers to this edition of Trivia Quiz on the next episode. So, good luck. Well, there we go. That pretty much rounds up this edition of the show, about an hour and a half in. So once again, that's not too long for you all to listen to. But we'd like to once again thank our sponsors over at Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. You can go to attraction-tickets-direct.co.uk and completeorlando.co.uk. Thanks once again to Juz and Craze, as always, for joining me on the show and giving us their wonderful insight. Make sure you email us your questions, comments and suggestions. We've certainly had a lot of them coming through via Facebook and via our email address. That's disneybrit@hotmail.com. A huge thank you to Jackie Casket for organising the pin trading meet over at Theobald's Park that you heard about. Once again, we do wish Jackie all the best with her recovery. And hopefully, you know, Jackie, you're going to be around to be able to organise some more meets for us. I know there's definitely some pin trading meets in the works. You can also ring our voicemail numbers. They are 0121-288-2858. That's if you are in Europe. And in the US, it's 407-545-7980. Of course, don't forget to check out our website at www.disneybrit.com. Find a load of stuff over there. And of course, the other place to look is over on Facebook. You can check out our Disney Brit Facebook page. You can become a fan. You can also check out myself and Juz and Craig, as we have our Facebook over there as well. Make sure you come and friend us up. We are always adding friends, people who listen to the show. And there's a lot of communication that comes via Facebook. So please, please, please do come over there and say hello. Thank you to all of those fantastic people who have left reviews on iTunes recently. There has certainly been a lot of them that have done that. Really does help when people are looking at the show and deciding what they want to listen. It's really great that you are all enjoying the show so much. You can, of course, still buy copies of the Minnie Mouse from Amazon in the US and in the UK, as well as at Waterstones, Borders and WH Smiths. You've still, only just, but still got time to sign up for Mouse Meets. You've got a couple of days to do that, to the 13th of November. You can still get your booking form, disneybrit.com/mousemeets.asp. It'd be great to see as many people as possible over there. We really are looking forward to that event immensely. Don't forget also to download your copy of the events guide that is also available in this podcast feed. You'll see it in there if you subscribe to iTunes, or you'll also see it within the iTunes page for the Disney Brits. But please, please, please do download that. Have a look at what is going to be going on. There's also some offers in there from some of the sponsors of the event. Make sure to check out our sister podcast at Eye on Orlando. We will still be doing those bi-weekly. So this time next week, after this is being a Wednesday, you'll be able to download the Eye on Orlando. And the next show for the Disney Brit podcast will be on Wednesday, the 25th of November. We're going to bring some great content for you there, including some fantastic stuff from Mr. Yeehaw Bob over at Port Orleans Riverside. Well, that pretty much rounds up the show. Hope you enjoyed it. And until next time, I'll see you.